Well, today we want to see not so much the grace and the mercy or the patience of a man, but the patience of God. And we'll certainly observe that God's great long-suffering and patience toward a man named Ahaziah. Ahaziah was Ahab's son. As we read earlier, Ahaziah only reigned for 2 years. Why did he only reign for 2 years? Because he did evil in the sight of the Lord. But even in that time of his reign, God showed him mercy and grace. Let me just say this. There's no one who will stand before the Lord one day at the great white throne judgment that has not received God's mercy, patience, and grace. It's what we do with what God shows to us that really determines where we'll spend eternity. We read 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 51 through 53 earlier. Let me read verse 53 again. For he served, Ahaziah served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. And I say, how solemnly sad is the biography of Ahaziah. Think about these facts. The 3.5 years of famine, the exposure of Baal's impotence, his prophets could not call down fire from heaven, the killing of Baal's prophets on Mount Carmel, Naboth's vineyard, and the death of Ahaziah's father, Ahab. All these divine dealings, all these dealings of God toward his father were specifically known to Ahaziah. I mean, he observed all of these examples, demonstrations of God's power. And yet, they had no effect upon him. They did not move his heart one iota, one inch towards God. He continued to serve and worship Baal. His heart was still set on doing evil. After all that he had seen, and I say how troubling, and God took note, and God was not mocked. Please understand, God's patience lasts only for a time. Now, when our ways please the Lord, he maketh even our enemies to be at peace with us. But when our actions displease him, enemies become our menace. And because Ahaziah's ways did not please the Lord, because Ahab's son turned from the Lord, and as he worshipped and served Baal, God had Moab revolt against, turn against Israel's subjection, which we see in the first verse of the book of 2 Kings. Notice verse 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And then, of course, we'll go on shortly here. But Moab rebelled against Israel. This followed Ahab's death. Now, for many years, Moab had been a tributary to Israel. But now it threw off its yoke. No longer was the king of Moab willing to render to Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with their wool, which we can see in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. No longer was he willing to give and give and give to the king of Israel. Well, let's look at our outline this morning, and then we'll pick up the storyline with verse 2. But we have Ahab's sickness. We have Elijah's prophecy. That's our second point. We have Ahaziah's messengers. We have Ahaziah's death. We see under our first point Ahaziah's sickness described in verse 2 of 2 Kings 1. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. Now, nothing happens by accident. And let me explain. Rather than fulfill his kingly duty to lead his army in putting down this Moabite rebellion, Ahaziah seems to have remained in his palace, meaning he cowardly shrank in fear from confronting the Moabites, and rather sought the luxury and the safety of his kingly house. With the result, again, verse 2, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. Sooner or later, the evil man stumbles and falls. It's just a matter of time. And here we see that fall for Ahaziah. But even in this incident in his life, we see the mercy and the patience of God. God's justice could certainly have killed Ahaziah through his fall. After all, he was worshiping and serving the gods of Baal. He was following in the footsteps of Jeroboam and in the footsteps of Ahab, his father, and Jezebel, his mother. God certainly, and would certainly be in all of his rights to have killed Ahaziah. But no, rather than put him to death, God placed him on a bed of sickness, which gave Ahaziah an opportunity to consider his ways. How often God puts us on a bed of infirmity or sickness to get our attention, amen? I know whenever I get sick, it seems like I say to the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Maybe there's something that I need to know from you through this infirmity. And so God gave Ahaziah an opportunity to consider his ways. He gave Ahaziah space for repentance. And again, I say how long-suffering God is, and what a beautiful example we see here. God wants to save us. God is not willing that any should perish. God does not take delight in sending people to hell. He wants us to turn from our evil, wicked ways. And he gives us ample opportunities to do so. He gives us ample opportunities to do so. I think of those who will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Every one, as I said earlier, every one of those folk will know that God gave them an opportunity to repent. Every single one will stand before the great white throne judgment. And so today, if you hear his voice, harden his pleading voice, harden not your hearts. Don't refuse God's so great salvation. Be reconciled to him. Do so before it's too late. Too late for you. Well, what was Ahaziah's response to God's gracious mercy? Notice verse 2, and he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. God had first sought Ahaziah's attention through Moab's rebellion. Now he was seeking him through his near-death experience. But neither of those judgments softened his heart. Like Saul, who in his extremity inquired of a witch, Ahaziah's recourse was now to seek an oracle of the demonic gods of the heathen, not to seek the one true God, but to seek the gods of the heathen. And Baal-zebub was the idol of Ekron. And Ekron was a city of Philistines, a country noted for its soothsayers. Now, Baal-zebub signifies the lord of a fly or flies. And his worshipers believe that he protected them from the diseases which these flies carried. And further, they believe that he could foresee and foretell things to come. Well, to wit, Ahaziah paid homage. And in so doing, he said to the heathen around him, the God of Israel is not enough. The God of Israel is not the God that we worship and serve. But remember, passages like Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 18 and 1 Chronicles chapter 10, where we read those who consult fortune tellers and soothsayers and spiritualists are themselves guilty of sin, and they expose themselves to the powers of evil. Which prompted God to send a message to Elijah to speak to these messengers of Ahaziah going to Baal-zebub. Which brings us to our second point this morning, and that's Elijah's prophecy. Notice verse 3. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now, what was Elijah actually saying here? Is it because there's no God? His name does not reign and rule in Israel, that you turn for information to the emissaries of Satan? You turn from God to Satan? And Elijah continued, because you have repudiated Israel's covenant God. And here is the prophecy, verse 4, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from thy bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Unto the widow of Zarephath, God had made Elijah the savor of life unto life. But unto Ahab, and now to his son, he became the savor of death unto death. And woe be to those who are the recipients of the latter savor. And with his pronouncement, verse 4 tells us, and Elijah departed. And as verse 9 tells us, he went up to the top of a hill. And we ask, well, why the top of the hill? Well, this is where he communed with God. This was his secret place of the Most High. This was where he abode under the shadow of the Almighty. This is where he said, the Lord is my refuge, my God. In him will I trust. Now, from the verses that follow, verse 4, it is obvious that these messengers of Ahaziah were so impressed by Elijah's commanding appearance, his authoritative tone, so terrified by his pronouncement, that they abandoned their mission to Ekron and returned to King Ahaziah. They didn't go to Philistia. And might we, as today's servants of the Lord, as we proclaim the truth of God's word, be so spirit-filled in our biblical declarations that our listeners too abandon their seeking the gods of the heathen. Now, when these men returned, Ahaziah said to them in verse 5, why are ye now turned back? I'm sure it was not only a surprise, but a shock to the king when his servants returned so quickly. Pretty sure he would know the time it would take to journey to Ekron and Philistia and back. But they were back. Why had they returned so quickly? Why are they back? Well, in verse 6, we see the messenger's response. There came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. In other words, these messengers now reiterate what Elijah told them. And Ahaziah's reply, verse 7, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? I would surely think that Ahaziah knew exactly who this man was, but to be quite sure, he asked about his appearance. And now verse 8, and they answered, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And such dress certainly denoted Elijah's mortification of this world, or to this world. He wore a leather girdle. And this attire reminds me, and perhaps reminds you, of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, who had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. Now the end of verse 8, and he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. But rather than having a humble and contrite heart, I mean, think about what he had just heard from God's prophet, what God's prophet had said to these messengers, and the message of these messengers had just conveyed to him, you shall surely die. Ahaziah, young and arrogant, not at all disposed to reproof, resolves to kill Elijah. Which brings us to our third point this morning, and that's Ahaziah's captains and men. Notice verse 9. And then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, went up to Elijah, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. You know, it was like this captain representing Ahaziah was saying, Elijah, you claim Jehovah as your master, we come to you in a name greater than he. And so, Elijah, you come down. Now, verse 10, and Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, it is, if I be a man of God, meaning if my God is greater than your God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. Please understand there was no vindictiveness in Elijah's response, just simply a consuming zeal for God's glory, which had been so blatantly insulted by this captain sent to Elijah by Ahaziah. And the consequence, the outcome, the reaction, verse 10, and there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. You recall God's fire had earlier fallen upon the sacrifice on Mount Carmel, and here it fell on those who had slighted that sacrifice. And one day soon, let me remind you that that fire will fall again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read in verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now we would think that such an intervention of the one true God would serve as a huge incentive to Ahaziah and his band of men to abandon their attempt to apprehend Elijah. I mean, after all, a captain and 50 of his soldiers had just been torched. They had just been incinerated. Wouldn't that get your attention? But no. Notice verse 11. And again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Again, we see how sin hardens the heart and prepares and ripens men for judgment. And I add even greater judgment. Verse 12. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Proof had already been given that Jehovah was omniscient. We see that in verse 4, where Elijah prophesied that Ahaziah would die. And now they should know that he is omnipotent. The fire of God fell. Ladies and gentlemen, man in the hands of his maker is nothing. One word and he becomes burnt stubble. Let us heed the words of Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. I appreciated what one man said this past week in our deacon's meeting. We either battle God or we bow before God. Might we be people who bow before him? I don't know why it is, but we are so stubborn. We are so willful in our hearts toward the living God. And we battle him. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never win battling God. He will always have the last word. If you're walking in disobedience right now, you are battling God, and God will have the last word. Let us bow before him while we have opportunity, while his mercy and grace and patience is still being shown to us. Verse 13, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. What obstinacy, what fearful stubbornness. What's wrong with Ahaziah? Two captains and 100 men had just been killed. And still, he is bent on his evil ways. Again, we witness a man deliberately hardening his heart against the Almighty God as he makes a third attempt to take Elijah's life. And we ask, well, how can this be? And the answer is because the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness is in their heart while they live. Find that in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. Apart from God's work of grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus, we would all be just like Ahaziah. Ladies and gentlemen, Pharaohs, Ahabs, Ahaziahs live today. They are all around us. They are publicly defying the living God, deliberately poking their finger in the eye of God. Well, sad and sober we should be. Verse 13 continues. Elijah fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Verse 14, behold, there came down fire from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now, my soul now be precious in thy sight. Obviously, this man was of a different disposition from the two captains which had preceded him. And so his appeal for mercy for him, for his men, was not in vain, which tells me, however ready is God to forgive the humbled, however rebellious we may have been. Let us bow before our Maker. Now, verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, this third captain of 50, be not afraid of him. And he rose and went down with him unto the king. And Elijah went in confidence because he could claim, as we can today, Hebrews 13, 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my life, my light, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he said unto him, and Elijah said unto King Ahaziah, verse 16, thus saith the Lord. And now he repeats to the king without any alteration, without any fear, what he had just said to Ahaziah's servants. Which brings us now to our last point this morning, and that's Ahaziah's death. Notice the end of verse 16, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Ahaziah, because you have turned your back on the true and living God, you will soon go from your bed to hell. Which, by the way, occurred, as we see in verse 17. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Ladies and gentlemen, God always has the last word. Please give heed to his call to turn from your sins. Today, as you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. Our salvation, eternity, is nearer than we understand. Today is the 83rd day of 2019. Think about it, we're almost 3 months into 2019. It seems like 2019 just began. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I don't have long. When God speaks, give heed to his word. Today is that acceptable time. God, in his mercy, his grace, his patience, is giving us the opportunity right now to turn to him and repent. May you respond.